Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington. Today is Saturday, February 25th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Nigerians vote in a landmark election Saturday to replace President Buhari, who cannot run again.
For me, the voting process is very, very poor. One, the INEC did not come in time. That is one. Even as they did not come in time, the Beavers takes like almost 1 hour or close to 1 hour to register one person.
Fighting in the breakaway Somaliland Republic escalates as local militias fight to pull three regions away from Somaliland in order to rejoin Somalia. And in South Africa, the Western Cape High Court rules that some sections of the country's Refugee Act are unconstitutional and must be amended, a relief to refugees there.
If it were enforced, people would be forced to return to countries where their life, liberty, fundamental human rights would be at risk. And that's something that couldn't stand, that couldn't be maintained, that because of a time period, because of not acting within 30 days, people would be forced to return to a situation where they had fled, fearing for their lives.
Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Of Nigerians are voting today to replace President Muhammad Buhari, who cannot run again after serving the maximum 8 years or 2 terms as allowed under the country's constitution. They have to choose among 18 candidates. The expectations for a peaceful and credible elections. Our reporter samples the opinions of some analysts and residents.
Public polls indicate the top contenders are Bola Tinubu, a former governor of Lagos and a stalwart of the ruling All Progressives Congress, APC, party, and the People's Democratic Party's PDP, Atiku Abubakar, a former vice president who is gunning for the position a record 6 times. Also in the high up in the polls are the Labour Party candidate, Peter Obi, a former governor of Anambra, who has energized young voters with pledges of economic change, and Rabiu Kwankwaso, ex-defense minister and former governor of the Northern Harb, Kano, on the ticket of the New Nigeria People's Party. The mood in Nigeria is upbeat and filled with excitement as the hour approaches. Some analysts have said this election has drawn more enthusiasm among citizens than past votes. Some Nigerians who spoke to VOA could not hold back their excitement.
I'm ready. Every morning I go to my box, I see my PVC, I dust it. I tell myself, go there and do your thing. And knowing that my vote counts, you know, I am excited.
Very ready, 100% ready. I've got my PVC. I've also been mobilizing and telling everyone who cares to listen that they should all come out tomorrow to vote.
In fact, I'm 100% ready to go and vote. Well, I'm at work now. I'll close any moment from now.
I cannot wait. In fact, I'm so prepared. In fact, everybody around me knows. Oh my God, we're taking over. Obedient, we're taking over. We can't wait.
I thank God that God has kept us to this day. This is the day that we are praying for.
As voters head to the polls countrywide, the perilous state of the economy, the sharp increase in banditry and terrorism, and the fluttering power supply are high on their minds. Public affairs analyst Jidojo says the economic difficulties in the country will benefit the opposition parties.
To the extent that the spin has been that the ruling party has inflicted a lot of economic hardship on the citizenry with the fuel scarcity, with the naira scarcity, To that extent, given the fact that the protests arising from the cash crunch has resulted in over 14 deaths across 12 states, this has made many people in the country to want to vote out APC at all costs.
The run-up of elections has been marked by violence and insurgent attacks on the personnel and facilities of the Independent National Electoral Commission, raising apprehension among voters. Ojo says despite the security concerns, the desire for change among voters will lead to a large turnout.
The fear more is now about vote buying, not much of election day violence. Recall that the Nigerian police and other security agencies, excluding the Nigerian Air Force, Navy and the DSS, are deploying over 400,000 men and women to police and secure the electoral environment. So it is believed that there won't be much of election violence.
Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari has been in office since 2015. The constitution bars him from running for a third term. Several international groups have arrived to observe how well the government and electoral body comply with the new electoral law. They include observer groups from the Commonwealth, the African Union Commission, the Economic Community of West African States, the European Union, teams from the United States and local observer organizations. To win the presidency, a candidate must capture the most votes nationwide and also take at 25% of the votes in at least two-thirds of Nigeria's 36 states. If no candidate meets that mark, there will be a runoff vote. For VOA News, from Abuja, Nigeria.
VOA's Peter Kalote is in Abuja to cover the Nigeria elections. I reached him earlier. Peter, how is voting going in Abuja and what are you hearing from other parts of the country?
Well, here in Abuja, Douglas, it's been very smooth. I've visited quite a number of polling stations. It's been very smooth. People or voters or people in the polling stations that I have spoken with tell me that the process was smooth, better or improved than previous elections. There seem to be people praising the process, even praising INEC for organizing very effective and clean elections such that they are enthusiastic to have a hand in who leads Nigeria. However, in some parts of the country, there were pockets of reported cases of slow start, and some of the sensitive materials did not get on time. But the electoral commissioner just spoke. The chairman of the electoral commission, his name is Professor Yakub Mahmoud, said that those people will be given enough time to vote just like everybody else. So things are going smoothly so far.
People thought in this election that the youth were a vital part of the process. From what you're seeing, how the turnout like?
Well, I spoke with a few people, including polling agents of the respective political parties. They say they see an enthusiastic crowd, both men, women, young and old, who want to be part of the process. In one polling station, one polling agent told me that 4, 8, 12 years ago, they could count only 200 people that came to that particular polling station for the entire duration of the election period. This time, it's an exponential amount of people who have been there. Since morning, the crowd has thickened. Although people are voting and leaving, the crowd still exists. So you could see the enthusiasm. And those of them who spoke with VOA told us that the enthusiasm is great. They are sending messages to people who are sitting home that this is their time to make their vote count. Some of them told me that for 39 years, some of them are 39 years old, they said they were part of the problem of Nigeria of not voting. But now some of them are organizing people online to go and vote. So you could see that there's some kind of enthusiasm among the youth, the old and all. Some retired man was insisting that we spoke with him, and he was telling us about how enthusiastic he was and how he wants things to change. And he said that from what he has seen, even in his household. And you know, the funny thing was, he was showing a young woman, this is an old retiree, showing a young woman where her name will be on the voter register, because at the polling station, they have all these names and pictures of the voters. So if your name and pictures are not there, then you can't vote in that polling station. But people who found their names and pictures on there with their PVC or permanent voter card, they're allowed to vote. And within 10 minutes, if you are in line, you have the ability to vote. So some of them take 5 minutes, others take 10 minutes, depending on the length or the size of the queue, and they are able to be going to. So they praise INEC for a job well done. But it's not over yet. There's a few more hours to go before polls officially close.
That appears to be smooth in Abuja. From what you're hearing across the country, should the people be still in line by the closing time? Will they be allowed to vote until everybody votes?
Well, according to INEC officials, for those who are in line before polling officially closes will be allowed to vote, because they were in line before the official closing session. But and those who did not, polling units did not start on time, will be given the same number of hours of the regular polling period for them to vote. So there would be no disadvantage or disenfranchisement of any prospective voter or any voter who has been accredited, has his or her PVC, and is required to vote or is willing to carry out his civic duty by choosing who the next leaders will be.
Thanks very much.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Some voters in Port Harcourt, Niger Delta region of Nigeria, have expressed different views on the voting process in the country's general election. Nigerians voted today for a new president and members of the National Assembly, but on March 11th, elections will be held for governors and state legislators. Some Nigerian voters spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the voting process during the presidential and National Assembly elections. Some said the voting machine did not function well, while others hailed the process.
I'm Donatus DJ. I'm a car dealer. For me, the voting process is very, very poor. One, the INEC did not come in time. That is one. Even as they did not come in time, the VIVAS takes like almost 1 hour or close to 1 hour to register one person. So that is the problem we are having. And as you can see, the place is crowded because of the delay of accreditation and voting. From what I'm seeing, the machine cannot carry. Why do I say so? We've been here for almost, close to 4 hours now. But we are not up to 10 to 15 people that have registered in that 4 hours.
And voted for them?
Yes, I'm voted. So the machine is very, very slow.
Longa Ihuoma, a businessman. It was going okay, there was no problem. Since I came, there was no problem. Everything was moving on well. The INEC officials are doing their job. Even when they are trying to bring confusion, they don't listen to them and they just do their job very well. The machine was giving a little bit problem, but now it's not. It's going on well now. I just pray, let it go well like this. If they continue like this, there will be no problem. Unless after now, there will be problem. But for now, I've not seen any problem there. So I pray that let it continue well like this.
Akife Debonora, an architect by profession. Excellent here for this particular unit. We had no problem. Everything went smoothly for here. Though they did not come at 8:30, they came a little later. But everything was normal. The moment they came in, they swung into action. Everything went smoothly. People filed in line, and then the reverse was excellent. It worked fine. And in a very short while, we were able to finish the number. We're just waiting for those who will just come and vote. You can see that the hall is empty now. Those who have come have voted and have gone. Exactly. Here wasn't, particularly here, we didn't have any problem. We're very fine for it. The rivers were excellent. But everything went on very beautiful.
My name is Ejiro Momod. Me, I'm a businesswoman. I came here, we've been here since 7:38 o'clock. These people did not come till about 11 o'clock, about 10:45. They came in for more than 1.5 hours. They were pretending that the beaver was not working till we started shouting that the beaver is working, does not need network to work. So that was when one other guy now came, went and looked at the beaver and said they should start using. That was when the light started moving. And then we have some that, I don't know whether they are party agents, they keep trying to go and induce the voters. So we've been screaming that they should leave there. That if they don't leave there, there will be trouble. I can identify one particular one of them. I said, you people should leave there. Stop inducing the voters. So that's what's happened.
Okay, my name is Joseph Yenke. Joseph, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm into business. Okay, from my own polling unit, it was peaceful. It was calm. The security people there made sure everything went well. The INEC officials were orderly. There was no anyone encouraging anybody to vote. We went in, voted, and we came out free and fair. From my own unit, I'm 100% okay with it. The beaver machine was okay. In less than 30 seconds, we were through with the accreditation per person. 30 seconds maximum, they were through with accreditation. They give you the voter's card. You go and vote. From my own polling unit, I think voting is almost over because if you go there and it's empty, the people are just seated waiting for probably anybody that maybe did not know where that center was. But if you go there and you will not see anybody, you will not see crowd like people in the line that wants to vote. Everybody there have all voted.
That were the views of some Nigerian voters in Port Harcourt. They spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Fighting in the area of Las Anod in the breakaway Somaliland Republic has escalated, with medical sources now saying more than 100 people have been killed in 3 weeks of clashes. Local militias are fighting to pull three regions away from Somaliland in order to rejoin Somalia. So far, calls for a ceasefire are being ignored. Ahmed Mohamed reports from Mogadishu, Somalia.
Somaliland's army has been fighting against the pro-secession forces in the contested town of Las Anod for 18 days now, with no prospects of a ceasefire. Las Anod is the capital of Sol region, which together with the Sanaag and Ain regions are fighting to withdraw from Somaliland and be governed by Somalia to the south. Dr. Abdimajid Hussein Sugule told VOA that the five hospitals in the town were running out of medical supplies and bed spaces as more injured and dead people are brought into the facilities each day. He says the number of those who were injured in the 3 weeks fighting is 602, while those killed are 105 people. In the last 2 days, he says, 55 people were wounded and 7 people were killed. The UN and other diplomatic missions in the country have called for an end to the fighting, and so has Somalia's federal government. Despite these calls, shelling and gunfire continue as both sides have dug trenches to defend their positions. Somaliland President Muse Bihi announced last week he would be dispatching clan elders to mediate the violence. However, the clan elders in the Boto battered town demanded that Somaliland must pull out its troops first as precondition for dialogue. Abdulaziz Isaac is a security analyst with Hamid bin Khalifa Civilization Center, a cultural and research organization. He says it's most unlikely that both sides will climb down on their demands for dialogue. He says while the elders in Las Anod see the pullout of Somaliland forces as critical for confidence building and lessening tensions, Somaliland, on the other hand, perceives a pullout as creating a vacuum which could allow Puntland to return. Somaliland captured the Sol region from Somalia's semi-autonomous Puntland region, and the two sides have been involved in deadly disputes since then. A success, the only viable option to resolving the dispute is pressure from the international community. He says, you have noted marked silence from Mogadishu since President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud called for an end to the violence at the beginning of this month. This leaves the international community as the only broker which could employ both diplomacy and pressure to bring to an end the fighting. On Thursday, officials from the U.S. Embassy in Mogadishu visited Somaliland, where they condemned the fighting in Las Anod and called for a ceasefire. Mohamed Ahmed, a security analyst at Nomad Development Enterprise, a security consultant in Mogadishu, told VOA rising international pressure could end the fighting soon. But he adds that Somaliland may not agree to withdraw its forces from Las Anod as a condition for talks because of possible domestic pressure faced by President Bihi. Bihi's term as president ended in November 2022, although he secured an additional 2 years from parliament. Ahmed says Somaliland sees withdrawal from Las Anod as a threat. Somaliland thinks that withdrawing from the town could risk its control. Secondly, the term of Somaliland's president ended and he has no full mandate or political backup. So he is afraid that withdrawing Somaliland troops from Las Anod could draw criticism from the opposition and that they would call him a loser. Aid agencies have warned the fighting could worsen already fragile humanitarian situation. As the Horn of Africa bottles a severe drought that the UN warns could degenerate into famine by mid-year. Ahmed Mohamed for VOA News, Mogadishu, Somalia.
General Mohamed Degalo, known as General Hamidti, the deputy head of Sudan's ruling council, said the coup that overthrew civilian authorities 2 years ago was a mistake and had politically benefited supporters of former longtime ruler Omar al-Bashir. He was referring to supporters of the former ruling National Congress Party in the army and those appointed in government after the coup. Joseph Sigo, Director of Research at African Center for Strategic Studies, discussed this development with VOA's senior analyst, Mohamed Al-Shanawi.
First off, it's a very significant statement since it reflects a possible split in the ruling coalition military government that's been in place since 2019, and especially since the coup in October of 2021. Now, it's interesting that he's defending or he's distancing himself from the coup now, since he has been a strong defender of military control all along since 2019. So it's like there's rising tensions between Hemeti and the leader of the military junta, General Abdel Fattah Burhan. Now, his claim that the current arrangement is empowering the supporters of the former Bashir regime, by which he's referring to the National Congress Party and the Islamist, I think is absolutely true. And this has been observed by a number of analysts and Sudanese. You know, under the Bashir government, state institutions were subordinated to the party. Islamist had great control over all aspects of society. The government was also highly corrupt and dysfunctional. And this is what's contributed to the economic tailspin that Sudan is now in, where the GDP has contracted over the last decade. And, you know, Sudanese are much poorer than they when Bashir gained control. And it's because the Burhan government, the military government, has brought in all of these old supporters of the Bashir regime that there is such high level of distrust and really disdain for the military government by Sudanese civilians. So the military has felt the need to do this because it has so little popular support. And so what it's trying to do is boost whatever political power bases it can and trying to build the old power structure that kept Bashir in place for 30 years. And, you know, we need to note that none of these actors who are part of the Bashir power bloc are committed to a democratic transition. And so it's really pushing to a point of very different trajectories for Sudan moving forward.
General Dagalo hailed a transition plan signed last year aimed at reestablishing a two-phased political process to restore civilian rule. He also said he backed demands by pro-democracy protesters, but conceded that he sometimes made mistakes. Is that a sincere intention to back transition to democracy in Sudan?
It's notable that he's acknowledging mistakes. And so it does suggest he's trying to make amends. And to be fair, Hemeti, who the common name for General Dagalo, has at times seemed inclined to be supportive of civilians, much more so than the Sudanese armed forces led by General Burhan. And so he's had an ongoing dialogue with civilians. At the same time, he's been a steadfast supporter of the military takeover. It was his forces, the Rapid Support Forces, that have been involved in some of the brutal crackdowns on protesters, resulting in protester deaths. Moreover, he's been an active interlocutor with the Wagner Group and the illicit gold trafficking out of Western Sudan. And so I think there's plenty of reason for skepticism about his sincerity among the civilian leaders and the democracy reformers in Sudan.
That was Joseph Sigo, Director of Research at Africa Center for Strategic Studies. He spoke with VOA's senior analyst Mohamed El Shanawi. Refugees in South Africa are breathing a sigh of relief after the Western Cape High Court ruled that some sections of the country's Refugees Act are unconstitutional and must be amended. Thousands of refugees are facing arrest and deportation after the law was changed, giving only 30 days for one to renew their asylum or refugee permit. Thuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
According to the Refugee Act in South Africa, any asylum seeker or refugee who fails to renew their permit within 30 days is deemed to have abandoned their application for protection. In this case, they will be categorized as people in the country illegally who can be arrested and deported. The Western Cape High Court has declared this section of the Act unconstitutional after it was challenged by the Scalabrine Center of Cape Town, an organization that protects the interests of migrants and other disadvantaged groups. James Chapman is the head of advocacy and legal advisor at Scalabrine Center. He spoke to the media after the court judgment.
If it were enforced, people would be forced to return to countries where their life, liberty, fundamental human rights would be at risk. And that's something that couldn't stand, that couldn't be maintained, that because of a time period, because of not acting within 30 days, people would be forced to return to a situation where they had fled, fearing for their lives.
Scalabrine argued that the section of the Act was in breach of the fundamental principles of international law that prohibit countries from returning asylum seekers to their countries. It further told the court that doing so to adult refugees and asylum seekers would automatically render their children and dependents illegal in the country, as their status is attached to that of their guardian. Refugees and migrants organizations have welcomed the court ruling. Debo Adesina is the founder of the Nigerian Lives Matter non-governmental organization and brand ambassador for the African Diaspora Forum in South Africa. He told VOA that meeting the conditions of that section is likely impossible for most of the refugees.
I will really be very happy if the Home Affairs can give human face by allowing these people get renewed, maybe minimum of 2 years. If the Home Affairs failed to do that, it will amount to most of these people to become illegal.
Bongani Mkwananzi is the spokesperson of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa, a group representing interests of Zimbabweans. He told VOA that more often the failure to renew these permits is not a decision easily made by asylum seekers and refugees.
It has happened with many cases that even the Home Affairs offices themselves, the refugee centers, are overloaded with people trying to renew, so much that some can spend a few days on the queue or abandon. People are trying to be at work, they're trying to go and renew their status. It becomes quite difficult at times.
An academic, Temba Piri, says the section is simply illegal and should be removed from the legal statutes.
It is unfortunate that this technicality has just denied so many people, and some of them have been arrested because they could not comply with it. So it is an illegal piece of legislation which was just crafted there to frustrate those that were seeking asylum permits or refugee permits.
The Department of Home Affairs has not commented on the judgment. Meanwhile, the section in question remains suspended pending the confirmation of the judgment by the Constitutional Court, a process that will facilitate its removal from the Act. Thuso Khumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Listening to the Voice of America, and this is Nightline Africa. And coming up in the second half of the program, the Saturday Music Spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, with former U.S. President Jimmy Carter in hospice care at home, people around the world are reflecting on the 98-year-old's achievements and failures. Outside of the U.S., historians say one place where Carter paid close attention was Africa. Kate Bartlett reports from Johannesburg on President Carter's unique relationship with the continent.
Jimmy Carter had a long-lasting connection to Africa, both during his term in office from 1977 to 1981 and in the many decades afterwards. John Stremlau, Honorary Professor of International Relations at the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg and former Vice President for Peace Programs at the Carter Center, remembers Carter's passion for the continent.
Jimmy Carter told me on several occasions that he spent more time during his presidency on Southern Africa and trying to liberate the populations down there than he did on Middle East peace.
Analysts say his interest in Africa was influenced by his upbringing in the rural southern U.S., which made him aware of the evils of racism. Carter's presidency came at the height of the Cold War, but his handling of foreign policy in many ways differed from his predecessors, said Nancy Mitchell, historian and author of the book Jimmy Carter in Africa, Race in the Cold War. For example, Carter made African-American UN Ambassador Andrew Young, who had been active in America's civil rights movement, his point man on the liberation struggle in what was then Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. Mitchell says the U.S. administration then spoke directly with Robert Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo, who were leading the guerrilla war against white minority rule.
So it's a really unusual example. I would say, in my knowledge, a unique example in the Cold War, where the United States treated leftist rebels who were either communist or certainly were considered to be very left-leaning and supported by communist states, with respect, fully into negotiations from the beginning.
Zimbabwe won independence in 1980. Where Carter had less success, analysts say, was in South Africa, where he might have taken a harder line on the apartheid regime, which he opposed morally, but still needed on his side in Cold War considerations. However, David Monnier, Associate Professor of Political Science and International Relations at the University of Johannesburg, says Carter is generally appreciated in Africa as a progressive who had a human rights-centered foreign policy and was more focused on African issues than many U.S. leaders.
One would not compare him to Mandela, but I mean, the two were friends and they became members of the elder team on African issues and global issues.
Like Mandela, Carter spent his post-presidency focused on health issues in Africa, achieving great success in efforts towards the eradication of guinea worm disease. His Carter Center was also instrumental in monitoring elections and promoting democracy across the continent. Carter won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 for that work. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg. VOA.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
And now it's time for a Saturday Music Spot. Yes, time to relax and enjoy great music.
Dollars. Don't be a cheap date, let's pop the bottles. Lames in a sec and I'm blaming the net. Let's do the money dance, one die for a fade. Keep it in the fam and cut my puzzle. The pillows in the air, my surface moisture. Nivea defense to block the solar. Pass the Mary Jane, this world my oyster, yeah. Los Angeles, give me more, more ambience. BBC One, smoking. It's international motion. Let me do my dance. Let me cut my bangs. I'm thinking about my stop plan. Reprogram, reset. Stay focused, revenge. Until then, foot on neck. Just trust in me. I built you a masterpiece. This world not enough for me. Kiss me and choose in my family. Oh, close company. Energy feel no punch on me. This luxury. I be DJ somebody. Yeah. Oh, the mommy's on a E-Jun. T-shirt off white look. You know, Abu Dhabi foot. Mm, yeah, sweets on my neck. Oh, yeah. Diamonds say girl, chill and let. I sleep when I'm dead. Yeah.
One girl, not enough for me. Two girls, not enough for me. Three girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. Not enough for me. Four girls, not enough for me. Five girls, not enough for me. Six girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. No, no. Not enough for me. Two girls, not enough for me. Three girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. Not enough for me. Four girls, not enough for me. Five girls, not enough for me. Six girls, not enough for me. Not enough for me. No, no. Yeah.
last, last. Now everybody go to our breakfast.
Shayo.
Shayo.
Chocobo for the result. Nothing to discuss. Cause I did win by default. I'm without any doubt. I'm a me happy adult. I no go feed the girl. I no go feed the girl is out. I'm a mind as you been talk. I put my life into my job. And I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love. I know holy. And I know that kepo. Like the baba fryo.
Girl, baby, jagu vonera chete, jagu vonera chete. Depanda gu chauri.
You must hustle if you want job. You know, finish, they won't fight us. If them, they run, them no fit catch up. I know they form say I too righteous. No con they form say you too like us. You know, get the time for the hate and the bad energy. Come my mind on my money. Make you dance like broccoli. Steady green like broccoli. Standing on my grind, oh yeah, what they want telling me. Could deny my fantasy. They want to check if my daddy no run. But did it rush? Did it rush well, well, it be much. Now gonna make my top, did it rush? The kind money we touch, yeah. Did it rush well, well, it be much. To be hype, everybody be crush. There's no darling with us.
Summertime, you make your body go. Ooh, 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 ooh. a bag full of feelings and a heart full of regrets. This baggage is complete to no plane, don't mean to digress. I wanna know, what's the reason why you move this slow? As you move, no, they cross my leg. Shorty nonsense, my baby, mommy. My baby, mommy. If you get the problem, my baby, mommy. My baby, mommy. I defy my own demons, don't you see? Don't know, don't you see if you get the problem? My baby, mommy. My baby, mommy. No.
Oh, yeah, mommy, jo, jo, go, jo, go, jo, mommy, go. And I know for life for you, mommy, yo, yo. Go, loco, pa, me, yo. I mean, not the love, but they try me, yo. Say my can life, no, they funny, yo. Many things I seen feed up by me, yo. Big money, man, nothing tiny, yo. I mean, not the take,
man, up for my own demons, yeah. Keep the bad energy gone, yeah. Play with no time when you see us, yeah. We got the right energy on, yeah. Bust to the rhythm, nothing long, yeah. We fly with the thing, no. I know they belong, yeah. But energy no come as well. Shorty nonsense, my baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. If you get the problem, my baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. I defy my own demons, don't you see? Don't know, don't you see if you get the problem? My baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. No. Mm-hmm.
If you leave this kind of life, I don't leave you, God, no. I don't send no person. Send me, I no send no man. I don't live my life on a low. I need a show. Study bankrupt. Man, I find my own demons, yeah. Keep the bad energy gone, yeah. Play with no time when you see us, yeah. We got the right energy on, yeah. Bust to the rhythm, nothing long, yeah. We fly with the thing on, yeah. And who know they grind, know they belong, yeah. Bad energy, no come as I.
Shorty nonsense, my baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. If you get the problem, my baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. I defy my own demons, don't you see? Don't know, don't you see if you get the problem? My baby, so mommy. My baby, so mommy. No.
Running out of things I can prove myself. Way too busy winning, I'ma lose myself. Every day they go hit on us. Mama says she gon' pray for us. Cause I can't do it on my own. You that godly, special somebody I know. Somebody I know. You beside me, turn this house into a home. Give me one good reason why I'm just a soul. In the matrix, looking for love in the wrong places, yeah. Cover the front page on a Sunday when they discover a location, yeah. Cover the combination, yeah. All I need is a little patience, yeah. Take steps, yeah, to break up, key to make up this foundation. Talking about real life, where you do the right thing and it still don't feel right. Set the bar real high, you the broken heart but you got us in real chill time. Your place to bring your fish back. Even my ex called me a big fan. Give me your time frame, I got big plans. But I don't buy face, I buy sick bags. Jet lag and smoke zigzags. The right way to play this bag. Running out of things, I can prove myself. Way too busy winning, I'ma lose myself.
That was a Saturday Music Spot. Hope you enjoyed the music. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. From the rest of the Nightline Africa team, I thank you for joining us tonight. And join us again tomorrow, Sunday. I'm Douglas Impuga, wishing you a very good evening.